With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the first fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? It is important always in dealing with the scripture to know the context in order to know and appreciate the message. The passage we use tonight for this ecumenical gathering is from the prophet Micah, who was one of the 12 minor prophets of the Old Testament. He prophesied from approximately 737 to 690 BC in Judah. Micah came from Moresheth, southwest of Jerusalem, and prophesied during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah of Judah. He lived in the same political, economic, moral, and religious conditions as his contemporary Isaiah, and with him witnessed the destruction of Samaria and the inversion of the southern kingdom by the king of Assyria in the year 701 BC. The book unfolds in three sections, demonstrating a journey from judgment in general, chapters 1 to 3, to the proclamation of salvation, chapters 4 to 5, and to the word of judgment and the celebration of salvation in chapters 6 to 7. Our reading is taken from this last section in chapter 6. Micah's strong call to justice and peace is concentrated in chapters 6, verses 1 to chapter 7, verse 7, part of which forms the theme of this year's Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. He sets justice and peace within the history of salvation, but insists that this history necessitates and demands a strong ethical reference. Like other prophets who lived in the period of Israel monarchy, Micah reminds the people that God has saved them from slavery in Egypt and called them through the covenant to live in a society built on human dignity, equality, and justice. Thus, true faith in God is inseparable from personal holiness and the search for social justice. More than just worship, sacrifices, and burnt offerings, God's salvation from slavery to modern and postmodern values rather demands that we should do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. The path of Christian discipleship involves walking the path of justice, the path of mercy, and humility. The metaphor of walking has been chosen to link together the 8 days of prayer for Christian unity because as an active, intentional, and ongoing act, the metaphor of walking communicates the dynamism which characterizes Christian discipleship. There is an African proverb that says, if you want to walk fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go with others. Walking humbly with God means walking with others and with the Lord, always attentive to what others say along the way. And so we begin our celebration of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity by reflecting on scripture passages which speak of the essential practice of conversation. Conversation has been central to the ecumenical movement, as it opens up opportunities for learning from one another, sharing what we have in common before focusing on what divides us. In this way, mutual understanding is developed. These gifts from the search for unity are part of our basic call to respond to what God requires of us. Through true conversation, justice is done and kindness learned. There is so much joy in hosting your neighbor in Christ. In hospitality, kindness is expressed. Liberation from fear, self-isolation, and alienation can be brought about by coming together and conversing together. In Luke chapter 24, 13 to 25, we hear the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Here, a conversation is taking place in the context of walking together, but also of loss and disappointed hope. Our hope had been, as Christians living in disunity and at times divided by prejudices and fear of the other, we can recognize ourselves here. Yet, it is precisely here that Jesus chooses to join the conversation, not presuming the superior role of teacher, but walking alongside his disciples. It is Christ's desire to be a part of our conversations and our response to wanting him to stay and speak more with us enables a living encounter with the risen Lord. That sustains our two communities in the hope that Christ, who is in our midst, in our conversation, explaining the scriptures to us, will lead us towards the unity he so passionately prayed for and desired in John 17:21. And so I conclude with the prayer of Jesus for unity. I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. John 17:20-21. Amen.